Hey, Nick.
Hey, Chase.
It's that time again.
What time is it?
Time for
Fuck This Place!
Chase has pointed out, too, before, like, when hosts, like, if we were, like, the soft start was me and Chase only talking.
Yeah, they don't let
the
guests
talk. They're,
like,
hiding their guest until they enter.
Like,
we
all
know.
Like, I clicked on the episode.
Yeah, I clicked on the episode. I know. I'm waiting for the guest to talk, and they're just, like, 10 minutes into their own goofy bullshit before they even mention that there's another person in the room with them.
Right.
And with that being said, welcome to Fuck This Place,
welcome
the podcast
Place.
About jobs. I'm Chase.
I'm Nick. And with us today is a comic that I genuinely love anytime I'm on the show with you, Kimberly Clark.
Hey.
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 I feel like you and I don't get on a lot of shows together.
Right.
But I do feel like several times we've been on shows that were weird. And like, and I'm always like, oh, like I'm always relieved to say like, oh, this is gonna be a weird show, but Kimberly Clark's here, so we'll be
cool.
Okay. There'll at least be two of us that are normal.
It's nice to have a security blanket.
Yes,
I completely agree. Well, Kimberly, on this show we have a first segment that we like to call "Fuck This Place."
Okay.
Question mark.
All right.
Where we decide whether we would work somewhere or not. Mm-hmm. So we have looked up some Craigslist postings from where you're from, Syracuse, New York.
Oh, shoot.
Yes. And so we are going to...
That's a booming metropolis.
It is. And I'll...
What's it like out there?
Yeah.
It's a college town, basically.
Right. Uh-huh. What's the school? Is it...
Syracuse University.
Oh, okay. Syracuse
Orangeman.
Orangeman.
Don't ask me what an Orangeman is.
Copy that.
There's just a guy with a big orange suit on that dances around.
There's probably some weird history. You know, like that kind of shit where it's like, you know, some of the 1800s, someone's like, well, you're just a regular old orange man. Like, that's us now.
It's definitely not the fruit because you cannot
grow.
Yeah, you can't grow orange.
Not a lot of citrus.
Not in Siberia.
A lot of apples, though. A lot of apples in New York.
A lot of apples. Yeah,
quality.
I used to go apple picking as a kid.
I've never done that. Is it
fun? Oh, God, it's so great.
Really? Yeah.
Oh, and they're so good.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Let me just for the record, if anyone is listening and you've only had Red Delicious apples, number one, fuck you. And number two,
live a little.
Like, you've got to get out there.
You've got to get out. So
Empire,
many variations.
Pink Lady, Fuji. I mean, they're,
all
it's.
Right. New podcast.
Yeah. There's apple. So many.
Apples. It's called Apple Podcast on Apple Podcast.
I like Brayburns.
Brayburn. Yeah.
Those are very good.
Sounds like an author.
It does, doesn't
I'm
it?
I'm more of a Pink Lady Honeycrisp man.
Okay,
I like Honeycrisp apples,
okay.
But I feel like my apple education is all from working at a grocery store and being...
Well, you worked at Whole Foods.
You work at Whole Foods.
I did. Yeah, yeah. I don't work there anymore because I hate that place so much.
You used to be work in a juice area, right?
Yeah,
in
a juice bar.
Oh, so you really should know your apples.
Yeah. But I've never gone to the source. Yeah. And mostly we just knew the difference between red and green.
Sure.
Like... You know, it didn't really matter.
Yeah, no, picking apples is, I mean, especially in the fall, there's the smell of hay. You get to walk around an orchard. I mean, like, you know, this is not the efficient way to get apples. You know, there's better ways to do this.
Uh-huh.
But you get to walk around and just, like, you just can climb trees and just, like, pick. You're just like, I want this one.
I didn't climb the tree.
Oh, yeah, me neither.
I don't think
you're actually supposed to. But, I do this like a teenager. Like, my church would go, like, you know, all the kids go and pick apples.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real, and then apple cider.
You have the cider. I was about to say, that's the best part. The cider at the end.
I feel like I'm missing
out. You can get the candy apples, the caramel apples.
Yeah. I always had to get mine from like a carny or whatever. Like
Carny's got them too.
Yeah.
I one time had an apple cider slushy.
Mm,
and that was... I'm going to remember it for the rest of my life. And I feel like an old person, you know, who like went to the World Fair one time. And it was like, I went on the fair. But like, it was like Hendersonville, North Carolina. There was the Apple Festival. And I just went as a high schooler. Just like, I have literally nothing to do. And
wait, you did this on your own?
No, with some friends.
Uh-huh.
I, you know, again, we had nothing to do. And I guess, we also weren't doing drugs. So, I just bought an apple slushie. And I just was like, it was like, I love slushies a lot, mm-hmm. a lot.
Okay.
Love a frozen treat. And to combine it with the tart, deep flavor of an apple cider.
Uh-huh. And now you feel like your grandkids won't believe you?
Yeah. Well, I just feel like...
shut up, Grandpa.
I'm just surprised
apple
I've never...
slushies.
Had I'm just surprised slushies. I've never had another one. Uh-huh. Like, where are they?
They gave me weird side hugs.
Grandpa's going to tell us that apple slushy story again.
I am going to... I think I am going to do that. Uh-huh. It's not good. That's not a good sign.
You're just like telling you. You're just like, well, let's go get an apple slushie. They're like, there hasn't been apple slushies in 60 years.
Grandpa. All the apples are dead, Grandpa. No one cares.
There are no apples.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to look at Craigslist posts from Syracuse. Craigslist. It might not be exclusively Syracuse. I'm going to read three titles.
Okay.
And you're going to decide the one you do not want to look at. And then the other two will decide whether fuck this place or not fuck this place. Okay, so the first title is, and no peaksies yet, is Overnight Personal Care Assistant. Overnight Personal Care Assistant. The second one is Serious Money, 2 days. And then the third one says Cash Reward, $500... Stephen Houghton, DOB, 52788, new details.
Those are job postings?
These are job postings from the Syracuse Craigslist. I'm not saying they're the only jobs. I will say, for the record, that there were several jobs that I could not determine what exactly we were supposed to do.
Agreed.
I read several positions were like, please call now. We have expanding positions available for go-getters and self-starters.
Go-getters.
You know what I mean?
I read several postings. They just listed a problem they had and no contact information.
Right, right, right.
And it was just, now I'm supposed to worry about you is all I got from that.
So, which one do you not want to look at? Personal care, serious money, or cash reward, $500, this guy's name.
Overnight personal care.
Looking at that. Great, great, great. All right, well, then I kind of feel like I'm the most curious about this cash reward situation. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this post says, cash reward, !! And it's supposed to be $500, but it says $500... This seems very dark to begin with. Stephen Houghton or something, date of birth, 52788, new details. Okay, that's the title. Then we are immediately met with an obvious iPhone screen capture.
I want to say, is it iPhone or is it like an Android?
Now, that's worth wondering. Mm-hmm. I think it's Android. You're right. Android. Because there are too many icons
at
the top here.
Less fun.
It does look a lot less fun. So it's obviously a screenshot of a phone, not a picture in a phone that you would then upload. It is as if someone took a screenshot of their Android phone and then uploaded that to Craigslist. By the way, these will all end up on our Instagram, so you can take a look at those there.
It's a Facebook profile picture.
Oh, that's what it is.
And it only received one heart.
One heart. No likes.
That's sad.
Very
okay,
sad.
Is he a missing person?
I don't know. And then there is a picture.
I love life.
There is a profile picture on Facebook. So this is another screenshot, obviously. Yeah, yeah.
That's a wigger.
Oh my God.
That is a wigger. Okay, I know. Okay. I know.
Sure. Is that a specific brand of Syracuse?
Sure.
Persona? Like, I mean, obviously we've all heard the term.
You know, I've talked to my sister about this. There's a lot of gummos. Okay. You ever seen the movie? You ever seen the movie Gummo?
No, but I'm familiar with the genre of persona.
What is a gummo?
Okay, so it's the name of a movie, basically. Okay. I've never seen the movie.
It's a super dark documentary, isn't it?
It's not a documentary.
Oh,
well,
it.
Kids, I think the same person that did Kids did Gummo.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Kids was intense.
But it's like, there's like a lot of weird looking people in that movie. Uh-huh. And so I always, there's like a certain like genre of white people.
That's
and I'm like, he's under that.
Oh, for sure.
Look at this gummo looking.
He's a gummo. And that's what I call them, gummos.
I mean,
he's like a gummo / wigger. Like, he has like a little, you could tell he raps.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he's got a
SoundCloud. He wanted to.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it just didn't work out.
Yeah,
and then it does say under the photo, I love life. I am always grateful for everything. My son comes before anyone. 3!
I 100% do not believe that.
Okay, let me also point out that this screenshot includes a button that says add friend. So whoever's checking out this profile is not actually this person's friend on Facebook, which I find is somewhat relevant. Then,
Full Sail University?
We can Google that.
There's no way that's not
he
like
made
that's,
that up.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's like his pretend record label.
He
whatever
made
you're
that
talking
up.
There's, I think Full Sail is one of those like, yeah, here we go.
Wait, is it a real thing?
Is it like, official website? What do they do?
I don't. Oh, it's in Winter Park, Florida. This is an online thing.
There's a Florida
it's
connection.
It's a for-profit thing. It's just a bunch of bullshit. So yeah, he went to Full Sail, and by that I mean he tagged them on Facebook.
Yeah.
And he went to He went to some senior high in the area, Plattsburgh or something. Okay, then there's not a lot of text here. It says, whoever leads me to the capture, okay, this is not sound like a missing person.
Uh-huh.
Whoever leads me to the capture and whereabouts of this person, Stephen.
Capture first?
Hold on a second. Wait, before we go into this person it's listed on the title as Stephen Houghton or something, and then in the on Facebook it says Stephen James.
Well, that's probably his middle name, Stephen James Houghton.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
And that's probably his stage name, Stephen James.
Oh, right. That's his SoundCloud link. Okay.
Not like Murky whatever. Murky Jones or whatever he calls himself on stage.
Oh, my God. Murky Jones. Okay, so it says, whoever leads me to the capture and whereabouts of this person will get $500. He has 2 open criminal warrants, larceny, grand larceny. Email me. Then it says known phone number, the list of phone number, and it says known address, and it lists the address, which is in Syracuse.
So wait, his phone number, though, that 518 area code is Albany, by the way.
Uh-oh.
Well, this guy sounds like he's all over the place. Mm-hmm. He's always, quote-unquote, on tour. Mm-hmm. Is what I imagine.
Stephen James? Well, Stephen James didn't post the ad. This is like someone else who's like, I'm trying to.
Oh, no, I thought that was Stephen James's phone number. And that was Stephen
James's. Oh, you know, I think you're right. No, I think you're right. I'm so sorry.
The address is in Syracuse. The phone number is in Albany. Uh-huh. And then now I'm so confused.
Yes.
So this is the guy he's looking for? This picture right here?
Yeah.
I think so. And also, again, the previous screenshot, which is.
Is that the same guy?
I think so.
I think they have a similar aesthetic.
He kind of looks like this man, my old manager named Charlie. When I worked at Chuck E. Cheese's, he looks a little bit like him.
Oh man!
But like a younger version.
Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, I worked there.
But okay, yeah, he does look like he manages a declining pizza joint.
Yeah,
for sure.
So it's like it's funny to me that someone was like, "I'm gonna go to Craigslist to get someone captured."
Yeah,
like,
correct.
Of all places.
Yeah, just to be like, that really sounds like I'm going to release the hounds. I'm going to Craigslist and I'm getting the dogs of
the
internet.
Big dog. We're going to get this fucker. Yeah.
I guess that's the cheapest way.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
he's like, and I'm going to look for a mattress while I'm here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, $500 does not really seem to me like it's going to be worth it.
No.
No, to hunt a man?
Hunt a man? No, that's not enough.
Yeah, just for a person, yeah, for a manhunt. Yeah, it just seems like, I don't know, you maybe want to go for at least a cool thou.
Yeah.
You know.
But like, I like that they say capture and whereabouts.
Yeah, like, I like that, capture and whereabouts. I would say whereabouts and capture. You know?
That's what I would go with first.
Because I feel like you could just say, like, well, guess what? I've got his whereabouts.
Yeah.
It's Full Sail
it's
University.
Next to me right now.
And we're just
it's
hanging.
In the trunk of my car right now.
Right. Yeah. So yeah. Yeah. That's a good question because capture and whereabouts. Whereabouts includes that this person who wrote the post is willing to do some hunting themselves.
For sure.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's also weird to me that he's got 2 open criminal warrants and
larceny, grand larceny.
I do not know what larceny is.
I don't know.
Is.
I feel like it's come up on the pod and we looked it up before and still don't. I still don't remember.
It's an easy one to forget.
I've never heard anyone call it larceny, grand larceny.
Well, I think that those are two. There's larceny.
Got separate counts.
Oh, theft of personal property. So grand larceny is probably just of a larger amount.
Mm.
It's just a guess, you know.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Or if you did it on federal property
like
or something.
He stole a TV and then he stole a bigger TV.
Yeah, correct.
Got it.
I bet you there is a dollar.
Right.
I bet you there is a dollar amount or, you know, some kind of, you know, place. If you stole it from the post office, it's probably grand larceny right away.
At least $500 worth of stuff.
I would say so.
He's lowballing himself, though. $500?
I mean, I think the thing is this person, here's my guess. The person who wrote this post has been stolen from or assumes that they've been stolen from by one Stephen James, a.k.a. Murky Malone or whatever.
Murky Malone.
he's just the next one.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you think this might be like a dog whistle to Murky Malone's friends? Like, you know, one of those things
I'm coming
where it's
for
just
you.
Like, or just like, $500 to anyone who captures Murky Malone. And then, like, the guy he's sitting next to or whatever, like, Slimy, whatever that guy's name is.
Slimy Johnson.
Slimy Johnson is like, And then like Larry No Feet or whatever on the other side.
And they're both just like,
$500. $500. He's right here. And so, you know,
my guy Murky.
Maybe.
You know, honestly, that might be the best shot at a $500 leading me to this. You know, like maybe this person is genuinely looking for Murky's acquaintances.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And as a result, that's the net they're trying to cast here.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to say no on the manhunt. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to say fuck this place.
I don't see any, because
I don't even think that if I saw a Craigslist post and it was like, hey, we want $500 to capture your friend Dave, Nick. I would be like, I'm not
I still
do
can't
it.
Do that.
I still wouldn't do it. No. So I just,
well, okay.
Let alone I'm going to get in my car and go down the streets of whatever version of 8 Mile they have out there.
Look, capture for sure. But this person does say whereabouts. And so I would like to say that this is a bit tangential, but I feel like it's relevant. I just finished watching this documentary on Netflix called Don't Fuck with Cats. Very enjoyable.
Okay.
And it's about these people who basically correctly identified a murderer, an actual murderer, via a lot of Googling, essentially. Uh-huh. Now, granted, it was because this guy kept putting videos on the internet. One of them was killing cats, and they were just like, oh, hell no, we're not doing this.
Yeah, yeah,
and they formed a Facebook group, and they started, hunting this person. So what I'm saying is, if Stephen James has a public profile on Facebook, there's a chance that he's got some other digital footprints, and there's a chance that you can lead to whereabouts. I will absolutely do no capturing. For those who have never seen me, I'm a slight man. So I can capture very little. I can catch the wind, perhaps. But otherwise, yeah. So I would say if I can make a call and say we're doing whereabouts only, I might consider
it. You might be in it. You might be going.
But I mean, really, fuck him. But, you know, I might be in it.
But you're only going to get half of that $500 if you're just
doing. Well, that's what I'm saying. We're doing whereabouts only for $500. That's the negotiation.
But if you go documentary style, then it's like all these people are involved. You're splitting $500 with 66 people or whatever it took to.
Mm-hmm. No, you're going to make money from the documentary, dude. That's a later thing.
That's a later thing, though.
I don't know if they made money off that documentary. But I'm just,
you know, Murky Jones is even worth. Like, we're making a documentary.
For sure. I mean, is he killing cats? That would be a big deal.
So far, it's just larceny and grand larceny.
So I'm going to say, obviously, fuck this place. But, you know, if someone was like, I want you to find someone.
But you are open
to stalking.
I am
very good at Googling.
How about you? How are you feeling? You going to try to capture this guy or no?
Hell no.
Okay, right. That's fair. Yeah. All right, well, then we're going to move on to Serious Money 2 Days. And this one's pretty short. Okay, so it says, the title says Serious Money 2 Days, and then the text of the ad says, make serious money in days, call/text, and then there's a number, and that's it.
That's the whole post.
There's
the whole
nothing post. Else.
There
there's
is, nothing. I guess, technically there's a region, but here's something interesting. This is Los Angeles, this map.
Oh, that's weird.
Oh, weird. I didn't notice that.
I wonder... If this map is a default, because it's basically kind of where we are right now, I'm wondering if you don't provide a location.
If it just goes to
where
you are.
If it just goes to where you are. Because this is like, this is literally where I am.
Wait, this area code.
This area code is 716.
I want to say that might be New York City-ish.
We're going to find out.
Buffalo.
Oh, snap.
Okay.
That's Canada.
You know what? You know what I think is weird is it says Serious Money down here, the compensation box, $500, which leads me back
here
to Murky Jones.
Oh, it's probably him.
Oh my God. You think he's offering up his own $500 reward? Like, don't find me.
I'll pay $500 to not say a word. Or to throw this other person off the trail.
Yeah.
That's when you got to pay six.
Yeah. And Murky Jones did have like locations all over the place. Maybe he's in Buffalo too.
Yeah, it's
why
true.
Is $500 like the money, like the the amount?
It's the amount that they think you can sell you
of
on anything.
That's the Syracuse.
A half a grand?
If you're in Syracuse and someone walks up on the street and offers you $500, you have to take it.
It's like 1 week's worth of work is what the standard is.
Like, I know the rents are considerably lower
but
$500 is not going to do much for you.
That's really not. I mean,
no, that's.
Especially in that last post where you might fight a murderer or whatever's going on.
Yeah, a larceny, grand larceny.
Your life on the line for $500.
Yeah. I would not consider in 2 days, I would not consider $500 serious money.
Maybe goof around money.
Yeah, make some goofy money. Two days. Call text.
Goofy money. And I'll take the goofy money.
Like, all right, I'm interested. I'll text you for goofy money. It's a goofy money. I just feel, you're right. $500 is for some grade A goofing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, like that's definitely a pair of shoes.
Yeah.
And
that's
maybe a,
nice, a
jacket.
That's a nice night out, maybe.
Nice night out.
Some, you know, nice
steak.
Dinner, maybe some drinks afterwards.
A nice hotel, one night.
Yeah.
So that's goofing money.
Goofy money.
Five serious money. What would you qualify in New York State? Not here in LA. Cool. Serious Money in LA is like, I'll never have it. But in New York State, what would you call, where would Serious Money start for anybody in this circle?
I would say.
I mean, Serious. I mean,
in 2 days.
Again, it depends. A job that lasted 2 days. I mean, I don't know what it is. Because I don't know. I know $500 isn't enough to get me to go, like, try to capture someone.
Nah.
Sure. Yeah, that's the thing. They're not telling you what this is. It's bad.
Mm-hmm. But I
also, would say 5,000.
5,000. That's serious. I would definitely call that
semi-serious.
Serious.
Yeah, 5,000 is a pretty good amount.
All right. So just in case anyone else is browsing Craigslist, that's the...
Uh-huh. If you're looking for me to capture someone, I would say at least 5,000.
Well, okay. We don't have to...
Yeah.
We don't know. It's not a guaranteed capture. Uh-huh. This person could just be like, I really need a lot of help moving, and my stuff is really gross. Yeah. It ain't serious money. That's for goddamn sure.
No.
You think he's like, this is serious this money, middle schoolers. Trying to figure out who thinks this is real serious money.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, middle school, $500.
This also just feels to me like he's just trying to get you somewhere and murder you.
Oh, for sure.
You know, there's always that outside chance that he's just like, oh,
just gonna hurt you.
He's just looking at his like wadded up, semi wet $500 on the ground. He's just like, I'm trying to give this to someone. Come read this text message.
Yeah, well, fuck that place.
What's up, dudes?
Hey Nick there,
Chase here.
That's us. Mm-hmm. I wanted to let you all know that you can actually call or text us about your job.
Ever felt like you wanted to be on the show, but you don't really know us?
Or it's just like too far away.
Well, we got a phone number now, guys.
Yeah, it's
470-BAD-JOBS.
You can either call that number and you can leave a voicemail on our job hotline, or you can text it and we will maybe read it on the show. I'm not going to say we're definitely going to read it on the show. That seems reckless.
Yeah.
Just because if you write poo poo caca, we're not going to put that on the show.
Oh man, I might read poo poo
caca. But all you got to do is call
470-BAD-JOBS.
And you leave that voicemail. And again, it doesn't have to be like all bad job stuff. It could be that something good happened. What if you got a new job and you want to tell somebody about it, but there's no one to tell? You can tell us.
You have no friends.
Or you have friends, but you just haven't told them yet, you know, and you want to, or you've already told them, but you want someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
You want someone else to give you a shout out.
Tell me and Chase. We want to know.
So the number is 470-223-5627 or
470-BAD-JOBS.
Okay. Back to the show.
Back to the show. Okay, so Kimberly, moving to you. What is the first job you ever had?
My first job was at Sbarro's Pizza. Hey. You guys familiar with that place?
Yeah, oh, very.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very.
They're in every mall on the East Coast.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they're like the greasiest fucking.
Mm-hmm.
I like that you worked at Sbarro and at Chuck E. Cheese's. So yeah, we're going to have to figure out the connection.
Lots of pizza in my work history. But yeah, I worked at Sbarro's. I was 14.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Did
you have to get a permit for that in New York?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I had working papers.
Did you want a job or were your parents like?
I wanted a job. Wanted my own money so I could just buy my own stuff and, you know.
Was there any stuff in particular you were looking for?
It's mostly clothes, sure. You know. Girl stuff.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Clothes.
You already want get a job in the mall, so it's already the stuff you want to spend is probably also at
right.
The mall.
And it was actually at like this it was downtown Syracuse and they had made like this Galleria mall place. Yeah, so I used to always see a lot of friends and stuff, like they would come by. Is it okay if I put this here?
Totally.
They would come by and yeah, it was fun during that time.
Mm-hmm.
I had this cousin, he was so ignorant. He came and he saw me. He was like, Mama Luigi, make your pizza. You know, and I was like, you're so stupid and racist.
So yeah.
Cousin being vaguely racist at you.
Yeah, I was, something weird happened to me though, working there. Like, cause there were like creepy older guys that
absolutely
worked there too, that like washed dishes, or yeah, they were like the prep chefs.
The dishwashers always have a story in my experience.
They're quasi on the run.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like dishwashers are always like, or they're like peaceniks that are just like, I have seen too fucking much, man. I don't want anything to do with anything. I just want to wash my dishes and go home.
Yeah.
Or they're creepers.
Yeah. And this guy, he was old too. You know, I'm like 14 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have a big butt. So I'm standing and he just grabbed like a chunk of my ass.
Oh,
right, and jiggled it.
Whoa.
I'm 14. And I remember this. I remember it today.
Uh-huh.
And I was just in, I was stunned. I didn't even know what to say or do. I was stunned. I was like, get your hands off. I remember saying, get your hands off of me. But I was just like, oh my God, this creepy, crusty man.
Did he say anything to you? He just did that?
I just remember him doing that. I don't remember him. I don't remember anything he said.
Right.
But he just grabbed it because it was just there and he just grabbed it.
Jesus.
Oh, like he grabbed a chunk of it.
Yes.
Like it wasn't like a pat. Like,
like
maybe
it was, there was like a claw machine, like a claw, like it grabbed.
Yeah. Like maybe my soul wouldn't have been so pierced if he would have just slapped it. Sure. But he like grabbed it and shook it.
Right.
Oh my
right,
God.
That's not good. Then, that's like, very
that's
bad.
That's crazy.
Then your like cousin comes around. He's like, hey, mama mia. Hey, fuck up.
It was horrible.
Like, not today. Right?
It was horrible. It was very traumatizing. That and then I flooded Sbarro's once. I was heating some ziti in the oven. We had some kind of oven. And
wait, what's ziti?
I just it's a baked Italian.
Oh, you
dish.
Don't know what ziti is? Uh-huh. Where are you from?
Northern California.
Oh, that makes sense. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, ziti. It's like a pasta dish with cheese. And
it's like,
oh, okay.
It's literally, it's just like, you know, lasagna is like in layers. Ziti's just like, oh,
mixed up.
Oh, okay.
It's, all,
okay.
It's like if you took lasagna and it had a different pasta and you just went like, oh,
kind of the same ingredients.
I mean, real Italians are probably furious at me saying that.
But yeah, they probably are. Yeah.
From an outside perspective, it's like a casserole.
Probably also mad about that. Like, hey, Luigi stuff we're doing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but yeah, I flooded the Sbarro's. That was pretty.
You're making ZD, and then what happened?
I pressed a button or something. I just remember water just everywhere. It was nuts.
From where? The sink? Where is this water?
No, it was like this. This weird, like, this was years ago, but it was some kind of oven thing that we used to like bake the ZD, and I pushed something wrong, and water just started.
Okay.
Shooting everywhere.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Unidentified.
Just hit the self-destruct button on the machine.
Yeah. Yeah. For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. It was terrible.
So how did you get this job?
First job. I just applied.
Got it. Just a regular, like, showed in, wrote your name down on the application, that kind of thing.
Filled out the application and met the manager.
What made you apply there?
And I looked like the type, you know, that I wouldn't steal out the register. Yeah. I was very.
Like a
good
kid.
I was a good kid.
Kind of a goody two-shoes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was very good at that.
So aside from that, like that horrible pervert and flooding the place, it was a cool place to work.
Yeah, it was all right. It was cool.
How long were you there for?
Maybe about a year.
Okay.
Okay, so that's a good amount of time.
Yeah.
Especially at that age, a year's a long time.
That's a long time for like a kid.
Yeah. I would go after school. My dad would pick me up from my shift.
Could you walk there from school?
No.
How'd you get there?
I took the bus.
Okay, like there's like a actual bus in Syracuse.
Mm-hmm.
Did
that's
they
great.
Like check your grades, bus. Your boss?
No, they didn't care about.
Because I remember like my first job like at the movie theater. I was in high school, and they were like, "Well, we're gonna make sure your grades are staying."
Really?
Up. They never did,
so
but I remember they just said that.
They said they would.
I've talked on the podcast before about my boss at the movie theater was like an old alcoholic. But,
yeah, for sure.
But I don't think he ever really gave a shit about my grades. But no. That was one thing they would say, like, "Well, you have to keep your GPA above a certain." In order to work.
To work.
Right. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, they definitely just said that, didn't they?
Yeah. Clear their own conscience.
Yeah, for sure. Because there's a bunch of places you can work that don't do that.
Yeah.
Do not
absolutely.
Care.
I worked all through high school. It's nuts.
Really? Mm. Yeah, I'll say 14, that's like freshman year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
When I was going to a college prep school.
When did you get the gig at Chuck E. Cheese?
Yeah, we do have to bridge. Yeah. How did you go from...
Y'all want to talk about Chuck E. Cheese.
I just want to know a little bit about Chuck E. Cheese.
You know, keep it in the cheese pizza family.
Yeah.
So Chuck E. Cheese came about when I moved to Arizona.
Like, okay.
I took a year off from school after I graduated from high school
because
I wanted to go to Arizona State.
Which is a super smart move, by the way, to take a year off from school after graduating. Like, you know, before you jump into college. I know that a lot of people don't do that. I didn't do that.
Malia
but like,
Obama did it.
Ooh.
One of those Obama girls did it.
I just feel like it's a super smart move, like to like actually pause and just be like, this is the real quote unquote real world where like there's no structure, there's no whatever to figure out. Like, do I actually want this college thing? Mm. I mean, I know like a lot of people don't do it, but I'm just saying it's a smart move.
It's a good idea for sure.
So
I
you moved to Arizona.
I moved to Arizona. My brother was there.
Okay,
and so I moved in with him.
And you wanted to?
I got into Arizona State.
Okay,
but I opted to. not go because I wanted to get residency so tuition would be cheaper.
Perfect. Gotcha. And so it's like just a year in Arizona that you had to do it?
And all I had to do was like prove that I worked.
Right.
And had residency.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're setting
and
the stage.
And my tuition was completely.
Of course, like, way lower.
A lot lower than what it would have been, you know, coming in as a resident of New York State.
Why'd you want to go to Arizona? Did your brother go there or like?
My brother was going there. And then I wanted to get out of the snow.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
Way out of the snow there. Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Those were the two motivating factors. And I actually visited the campus and I liked it.
Arizona State's in what part of Arizona?
Tempe. It's Phoenix.
Okay. Yeah. Got it.
Mm-hmm. So I worked at Chuck E. Cheese's.
So you got a job at Chuck E. Cheese's
that year. Mm-hmm. That was nuts. Mm-hmm. We used to have to answer the phone. We're making magic at Chuck E. Cheese's. It's crazy.
Yeah. That's you literally picked the phone up and they.
We had to say we're making magic.
No, there's no information there. There's no information as to what location you are.
Nah.
Who you are.
Nah.
Yeah.
Or an invitation to the person who's calling to do something about that information.
It almost sounds like you're pissed they're calling. Like, we're making magic at Chuck E. Cheese's. What do you want?
You're interrupting the magic
getting
with
in
this
the way
phone
of this
call.
Magic. So what was your role at Chuck E. Cheese's?
Fixing the robots? By the way, are very creepy when they're off.
Well, I think they're creepy when they're on.
Absolutely.
But,
but even creepier when they're off.
Do their eyes close when they're off?
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
Oh, my God.
I know. Yeah. It's so strange.
I had a cousin that worked at Chuck E. Cheese, and I remember he told us when we were kids that he was like a teenager and we were kids. The story stuck with me that he was Chuck E. Cheese, like he was in the big outfit, you know? But you're supposed to get off the floor before the robot show starts.
Otherwise,
it's too much.
You got two Chuck E. Cheese's at the same time.
And he
said
that happened and that these kids were like
freaked out.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Mm-hmm.
I wore the Chuck E. Cheese mascot outfit once because the guy that usually did it, we were about the same height, and he was out sick, so I had to put it on, and that was atrocious.
I bet.
Did it smell real bad?
It smelled horrific.
They smell so bad. That's
horrific. And then they had to lead me out like I was Stevie Wonder because I couldn't see. So they were like leading me. I remember I knocked this kid down. Like I felt the kid on my shin.
You're just like, move on. Keep going. He's gone now.
I'm Chucky. I got to make this work.
It was horrible. Oh my God. It was horrible.
That's so gross that they don't clean it.
No, they don't.
Yeah. Well, so anybody knows, like, this is not exclusive to Chuck E. Cheese's. Even at higher levels, it's very difficult to clean large costumes like that. Like, I auditioned for a role as like a full body puppeteer at the Natural History Museum here in LA. Almost got the goddamn job, but anyway. All right, let's back up for a second. They told me I had the job.
How much does that pay?
It was
$500?
$20 an hour.
Oh, okay.
It's not like great, but it was good. and also it was like only 4 days a week because of their programming or whatever. But I had a friend who worked there, and the cool thing about the gig was you also only worked so many hours. Like, there's only like four shows a day, and the shows are like 10, 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so in between shows, you just sat around. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you could do work or whatever. But anyway, so they told me I had the job, and this is while I was working at Scoop and Ice Cream Place, so I was real desperate for something more exciting than what I was doing. And they told me I had the job, and then they were like, all we got to do is background check. And then they emailed and was like, oh, sorry, we're only hiring one position, and we had to cut you because of casting or whatever. They were hiring, it was a dude and a woman, and they were like, well, we have to keep the woman because that's the casting roles that we need. And I was like, seems like you would know that before this whole process started. They were just like, we just didn't know. We didn't know, like, there was some confusion with the funding or something. And so, like, I had the job, and then I didn't. But anyway, you wore these full body. I was in like this Stegosaurus like puppet, and it smelled fucking awful in there because like 30 different people just sweat their balls off in there.
Burping in there, maybe?
Just burping up Mountain Dew, and it's just like all this foam and stuff, and it just holds.
And at the Chuck E. Cheese, even because they're burping up like cardboard pizza or whatever.
I just remember smelling like breath. It was like bad breath.
Yes.
Of like. well, 50 people.
What do they tell you when they're just like, hey, get in this costume and just start hanging out with kids? Like, hey.
Yeah, I mean, they just basically led me out there and the to kids walk around. Were shaking my hand and they would just lead me around.
Yeah, like say hi to Chucky.
Yeah. Yeah, and I had to wave.
I would be like, take pictures. They didn't like make wishes at you or anything? Like,
make wishes.
I was making a wish for myself that I wouldn't pass out in that thing. It was so disgusting.
Right.
Gross.
So what was your job when you weren't Chuck E. Cheese?
You were like, this is the magic. This is the magic.
You're like trying to not touch the costume that you're in. Just like lifting your hand and feeling the sides.
I basically was like cashier, and like sometimes I would, you know, serve the pizzas and stuff. Oh, we had to do like a little dance number for birthdays. Oh, like if it was somebody's birthday, we had
like
to
be every day, right?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And we had to do like this little dance sequence. I remember we had to like do a little choreography and stuff. It was ridiculous. We had to wear these little shorts and the apron. You know, it's Arizona too, so
right.
The outfits are gonna be a little skimpier.
It's not quite a Hooters, but
no. But borderline
kid Hooters.
Yeah,
borderline. I mean,
Chuck E. Cheese is kind of kid Hooters. Yeah,
right. It is. It is. That's a nice description.
Didn't I feel like I've mentioned this maybe honestly more than once? But does anybody remember Showbiz Pizza?
They were the same company, I believe.
Were they the same company? I thought they were just like, you know how like DreamWorks wasn't good forever until like Shrek? Like I thought that Showbiz was like DreamWorks pre-Shrek, you know, when it's just like, we made a movie. There's a troll in it for sure.
A troll.
You know, like in name only, you know what I mean? It's like, it exists. Anyway, I remember Showbiz. I remember being as a kid seeing the monkey and like the cat and stuff. Do they're like the band thing, and I'm like, this is sad.
I think they merged Chuck E. Cheese and Showbiz.
I think it got bought.
Yeah, they merged.
I enjoyed the like almost like old style Vegas glam of Showbiz Pizza.
I've never heard of Showbiz
Pizza. I know.
I mean, I believe you.
It's the East Coast.
Is that what it is?
I think it might be East Coast. Yeah.
Well, at least you've heard of it.
I think, like, as far as I know, the only like arcade. We had, like, Northern California, we had, as far as arcade pizza places for kids, it was Chuck E. Cheese was, like, dominant. Like, we had
of course.
In San Jose, when I was a kid living there, you had, like, one that you could see from the freeway that was just, like, monstrous, like a four-story kind of.
Wow. They
had this gigantic Chuck E. Cheese outside. And then I remember there was a Bullwinkle's. Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yep.
And that was open for an hour and a half, I think.
Right. Isn't it amazing? They just fucking dominated.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Why are you so like aggressive about pizza?
Well, just also like, why? And mice. Why did Chuck E. Cheese win? You know, I just, I'm
it's
not
one
a
of the
man.
Most unsanitary places.
In the world.
Yeah, I would not let my child jump. The ball pit is horrific. Yeah. I mean, kids pissing and crapping in there. It's just a mess. Yeah.
Fingers.
Do you remember that as a kid, though, being like, get me in that fucking ball?
Of course. You like, wanted to. Yeah, go to the bottom.
I want the fight.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's the closest you ever get to, like, Scrooge McDuck swimming in this, pile of money. That's how I always felt like. I felt like Scrooge McDuck. I'm just like, it's me and my money.
Balls. Yeah.
Just the feeling of the balls. I'm circling
Chase
my hand.
Chase is doing like the Joker just dance from the recent Joker
You
movie.
Are doing the Joker dance.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Just the feeling of the balls as you like sort of pseudo swim through them.
What was funny to me about Chuck E. Cheese's though is that we sold beer.
But you can only do one. Yeah. Isn't that the rule of Chuck E. Cheese?
I don't really remember rule.
Sure. Mm.
But it was just funny how these parents would come and they would get
sloshed. Yeah, but also because it's like I think they feel safer to get sloshed there because they're sort of like they can roam freer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's supervision.
Compared to even a McDonald's. You know,
well, I remember. I feel like being a kid. Remember being a kid there, and my parents getting a little tore up when I was there. And, like, but I remember like kind of being into that because it seemed like everyone was having a good time.
Right.
Yeah, I'm probably getting some more tokens out of this.
Yeah, exactly.
How long were you there for?
I was just there for a year, not even a year.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
I was working almost three jobs at one time during that time. So, because I wasn't like full time at Chuck E. Cheese's. Like I had Chuck E. Cheese's and then I had Bally's Health Club and then I had like I was working in a mall at a like men's store in a mall. That was funny.
What would you say though? I was like, what would you say is the worst job you've ever had?
The worst job? God dang it! I've had so many bad jobs.
Sure.
Won't hear much.
Yeah, we can wade through it. Give us three. We'll pick the worst ones.
I did have a telemarketing job. Yep. Those are always the worst. God. I know everyone. I used to work for Olin Mills,
the photography studio.
Yeah, yeah. You are so East Coast. It's very East Coast. Like, you know.
Yeah, you know, like, I'm sure maybe your school does too, but Olin Mills, like, they come to your school and they contract, you know, they're like the exclusive photographer. They do your yearbook photos, and then, of course, people buy the photos, which is why the fuck they come
like
to your school.
Like, for elementary school? They used to, every year, K-12. They make us take pictures in front of like what was just like a white background that had just a bunch of paint splashed all
over.
Yeah,
it's Olin Mills.
Make you hold like a baseball even though you don't play.
Correct.
Yeah.
Make you look like you had a personality when you were a kid.
I like playing. Like, well, here's your fucking baseball.
I didn't know.
I do extracurricular activities.
So you worked for them.
I did work for Olin Mills.
Was this in sales?
Sales.
Ugh. So what did you have to do? What were your...
Basically call people and ask them if they want to get pictures done.
Wait. You had to call, like, cold call people and be like,
yeah.
Hi, it's me from Olin Mills.
Yeah.
What was the inroad? There had to be some kind of, like, we have a special offer for
you
today.
There were, like, special offers. Mm-hmm. I honestly tried to block this out of my mind.
Sure, yeah. Yeah. We're going to unravel. bit by bit here.
It was rough.
So you were essentially, the goal was individual people. Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck. Mm-hmm. To, like, I could imagine that it would be a slightly better gig if you're trying to get school districts on board. You know what I mean?
Like,
that's a major sale.
No,
this is one by fucking one.
Yeah, it wasn't
and that's
corporate
a
sales.
Big difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're like, hello, person who did not ask me to call you. Were the leads like they had it? They signed up for
Signed up for something.
Doesn't matter, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's how they got on the
But it's
phone
very
list.
Cold by the time you're calling them.
Yeah, for sure.
You're like, hey, you got a kid? I got a little stepladder. I'm taking a picture of him sitting on top of it.
We've got a column and a fern.
I don't even remember my script. I don't remember what I said.
Did you make sales? Did it happen?
A couple.
Sure. Do you know what happened? Were you connected to the studio itself? Did they have to come in? Did you see them later? Or is it just like as soon as you made the sale, you never saw
them? We were like in this back room of the studio.
Yes. Got it.
Yeah.
So did you, once they said yes to the family portrait package or whatever with the adult sale.
Then you get their credit card information. Uh-huh. Then you go in for the kill.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You get the credit card information.
Yeah.
And then
after that, you never saw her. That was it. That was the end of your interaction with them.
That was the end.
Yeah.
Someone else came in and murdered them.
Were there other salespeople?
There were other people. With most of those telemarketing jobs, you know, you're like
a little team
sitting in a
little cubicle style thing.
Yeah.
So what were they like?
I don't even remember. I blocked it out.
Just showed up like head down.
It's just you just like slamming your head against walls over and over trying to.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Trying.
And
to
I did something similar to that here for the Hollywood Bowl. Like I did the selling
seasonal
for that.
Thing?
The seasonal ticket thing. And there was this one man. He was like, that was all he did all year. Mm. And he like always like booked sales and stuff.
Yeah,
that was
really good at it.
And he wore a blazer.
Son of a bitch.
He wore a blazer and he had like that radio voice. I was like, oh, he lives for this.
Yeah, the king of nothing.
And he smoked a lot.
Love
the LA Philharmonic.
You had to sell. You just like would again just call and be like, "We have tickets. Do you want some?"
You try to get people to get packages for the season, and you talk about who's on the lineup for the year and stuff. Mm-hmm. And
Matchbox 20 coming in August.
You know, Barry Manilow is going to be opening the bowl for the summer.
So this number one stunner wearing a blazer, smoking cigarettes. I really wanted to smoke cigars for some reason.
he probably smoked those.
What was everybody
like a swivelly spinny chair.
He was obviously king of the castle.
Yeah, he had like the first cubicle. Like he had his own like...
Right next to his parking space.
Yeah, because everybody else, we will always kind of like sit somewhere different every day. It didn't matter.
Right. Uh-huh. So like basically there was king of the castle and then
everybody else.
Just whatever.
I mean, there were some people that were kind of up there too. But
sure.
Yeah, there were actors that did it. Actors, actresses.
Naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was interesting.
But Radio Guy was all in.
He was all in.
He didn't
in.
Have anything else he was, uh-huh. that was going on.
Uh-huh.
Nah. No. Nah. And that's the thing. If you want to really hit it out of the park with those jobs, you really do have to, what is it? Like, have some sort of deficient personality trait that sort of like cuts a certain part of your brain off.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That you're just willing to value this extraordinarily arbitrary thing
over
a bunch of other things that really should take precedence.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Like self-respect or whatever.
I feel like you run into that personality type in every kind of job. There's like, let's say the customer service across the board. Mm-hmm. There's always like someone that's just like, yeah, I just don't take it personally. I'm like, how the fuck do you not ever take it personally?
This whole thing's personal.
I get so mad at customers. You're a person.
You have to shut down. Like, I worked for the airlines.
Oh, fuck.
But I'm about to really give it to y'all. I worked in the baggage service office.
Oh, no.
Where people never come in there happy.
No, never once. Not once.
Ever.
Yeah.
And you just have to shut. You seriously, like, take. You have to take your feelings out, like, for real.
Oh, man.
And you just have to look at people stone face. I might have gotten really upset, like, once when this man told me to go back on welfare. And I said, you know what? I said, you don't know a damn thing about me. And I was like, you know what? I should sue you for slander. And I just started going.
Hell yeah.
Over what? Over his fucking bags or whatever? He was
upset over his like, bags being lost.
Of course, you didn't lose the fucking bags. Yeah. You're just in the goddamn office here to recover whatever was lost.
That was a crazy ass
job. Was that at LAX?
That was at Sky Harbor Airport while I was in college. Okay. I worked for the airlines. And then I worked maybe a year and a half at LAX because then I transferred my job to LA when I wanted to move to LA.
That was how you moved out to LA?
Part of it, yeah. Kind of helped
so,
me.
Okay, so let's dig in on this airline situation.
It's so much, oh my God, you guys.
How,
this is a two-parter.
Maybe it is. So how did you get this airline job?
Well, my sister-in-law used to work for America. You remember America West Airlines?
Not really.
It's an old, it's... Anyways, my sister-in-law worked for America West Airlines, and they ended up merging with, I believe they merged with American, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. Anyways, she was working for them doing reservations, and so she basically helped me get the gig while I was in college.
Got it. And they were like, awesome. How about you head over to baggage?
Yeah, because I was training to do reservations.
Right.
And you... essentially have to learn the same stuff. You have to learn all like the city codes.
So that was your end to get to reservations.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. That's what I thought I was doing when I was training. But then they were like, well, we have these baggage service positions available. And they were overnight positions, which helped with my schedule being in college. Mm. So, you know, I would go to school in the daytime and then I would go to work like late at night on these overnight shifts. Mm.
Which no one's in a great mood at 2 a.m. either.
I kind of liked it, though, because I'm a night owl. So it kind of suited me.
Maybe there's less people.
Less people to deal with, but that all depends, too, because if you have, like, a flight that is, like, crazy delayed and you have, like, a bunch of people peeling off this flight that are pissed off, you know, then...
So you got the job thinking, okay, I'm gonna be able to move to the counter. And pretty immediately they were like, well, you're gonna do baggage so you can learn the counter. And then when did you realize you were not going to this counter?
I kind of lost the desire to even want to go to the counter.
Right.
I mean, the baggage service office was fine for me. I mean, that was a counter. It was in the basement.
Right.
And I was still getting like free benefits. I could fly for free.
Oh, wow. That's
places.
A huge perk.
Yeah.
Did you take advantage?
And I had buddy passes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a big perk.
I was a trip. Literally and figuratively. All over the place. That job sort of shaped my college experience into something completely unique and different from most of my peers.
Right.
Because I was like,
I'm going to Maui.
Just
like, get on
the
plane
like,
and take
I
off.
Had this class where we had to do research because I was a broadcast journalism major. And I had to do research on a radio station in a certain market. It was in New Orleans. And so I was trying to find information on this radio station, and I couldn't really get a lot on them. And I was like, I'm just going to go there in person. And so I called them up and told them, you know, about this project I was doing for school. And I flew out there like for a day.
That's a huge
and
perk.
Flew back. And my professor was so impressed with it. And
right.
I was like, I work for the airlines.
It's like a little mafia situation there.
Could have, in college, could have captured those guys that were.
I probably could have. Yeah. I probably would have.
This is a
back
catch
then,
me.
$500 in Arizona.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just take a look. Yeah. Take a look. That's all I'm going to do.
Yeah, it's like a catch me if you can situation.
That's serious. That was serious money back then.
Wow.
Totally would have done it.
So then, so. You used that job because when you decided you wanted to move to LA, you just said transfer me out to LAX.
Yeah, that was kind of like my springboard to smart. LA. I have to say I was very savvy growing up
pragmatic.
In terms of like working. What does pragmatic mean again? I'm sorry.
I would say pragmatic
I'm not gonna act like I know a lot, but I don't know.
Pragmatic,
everything.
I would say, is very like just rooted in realism.
Yeah. For sure. Mm-hmm. My mom was 40 when she had me. My dad was older than that. So, like, I was always around old people that were working all the time and just very, you know.
Yeah.
Get up early in the morning, get things done.
That's it. Well,
all
yeah.
my siblings were older than me. Like, they were teenagers when I was born. So,
So, you had sort of a mature mindset from the beginning.
I was a mature 3-year-old. I ate fancy cheese.
A little blue cheese here. Have some brie.
All that. I really did. I used to love all that stuff.
Okay, so you had like that telemarketing job, right?
Which one? The Olin Mills or the Hollywood Bowl?
Oh, no. I was just going to say, like, you would say that classification of jobs is the worst.
That's
telemarketing.
The worst.
That's the worst jobs. I assume you were doing stand-up when you were at the Bowl. And you're
yes,
like,
I was. Okay. I actually.
Well, when about all this did you start doing stand up?
While I was working for the airlines at LAX, when I transferred my job to LAX, I also got a job at the Laugh Factory.
Okay.
So when I was working for the airlines at LAX, I was also working in the office with Jamie Masada.
Okay. Mm. Got it.
So I wasn't doing stand up at the time, but I was around it like
a lot.
A lot.
Did you like stand up? Is that what took you there, or is it just a job?
What took me there was the fact that there was a job, and it was like I think he was looking for like public relations, and I was a broadcast journalism major.
So you that was the avenue.
That was the avenue into the comedy clubs. So yeah, that kind of like piqued my interest in wanting to do stand up was being around that, and then also in college. I used to be in a poetry group. I hate to admit that, but I was.
We've all been an adjacent and shameful. you know, I did improv for a long time.
Yeah.
But
yeah, and a lot of my poems were funny.
Right, and you just realized what you were actually doing.
Yeah.
I didn't know it at the time, but that's what I was doing.
You were writing jokes.
I was writing jokes the whole time. Crazy.
And, you know, again, if you're reciting poetry, you're doing slam poetry or whatever, like... there's a rhythm to it. There's all these pauses. There's a lot of construction to poetry, similar to writing a joke. There's a lot of it's almost like a lot of math.
It's obviously a word economy, like a lot
exactly.
of
exactly word.
Do I need
excellent.
What word, you know,
word economy.
I like that.
Pragmatic of you.
Yeah.
Oh, very pragmatic.
Look
of
at me,
you.
My old pragmatic.
I don't know.
Self.
I don't think I used that word right. I'm pretty sure I didn't.
That was craftmatic of you.
Craftmatic. okay, well, we always make sure we ask 3 questions before we close the pod. And let's just say we're assuming the telemarketer job at the Bowl. So, number one, when were you done and how did you quit? Like, when were you like, I got to get out of here? And then when did you actually get out?
Hollywood Bowl. I got out of there. When I started working there, I was looking for something.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Like you were like, I mean, cause you'd already done
it
before.
Let's keep
it
real.
Yeah.
Like I was like,
but you knew you had to take it.
But I had to take it. I mean, it was during a time too, where the economy was crazy, like that weird time. And I had gotten a temp job with the Annenberg.
It's a museum, right?
Yep. The photography space.
Yes.
And so that's how I got out.
oh, you just got, you just like were looking and got that.
And they liked me and they were like.
And also like, even though it's totally fucking different, you know, but you were working for the Hollywood Bowl. It's another cultural institution.
Exactly.
So, so there was like a kind of pivot there.
I had that. And then I also had other like museum. I've had so many jobs.
So, okay. So you were done right away and you quit by getting this, by getting the Annenberg thing. Okay. So question number two is, what's one good thing you took from the Hollywood telemarketing job or any telemarketing job?
The free concerts.
Right. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, no. The fact that they were
Monet.
Oh, back
she's
then too.
Amazing. Yeah.
Wow.
She's good.
So that was like, she probably at that point only had the first two albums out.
Electric
Lady Area or right before that? Arch Android.
I think it might have been right before Electric Lady.
Wow. I like Arch Android a lot. Nice.
I like Arch Android a lot too. Mm. I like the one before that too. What was it called? Jane?
Something. Yeah, it was like an EP with with that great
really
song.
Good.
That's that one song on it. God damn it. Is it like something Moons? Anyway.
Uh-huh. I know something.
That song, I get goosebumps at the end of that song every time.
Her sound kinda, I don't know what happened. I mean, I still like her, but
It's amazing that you got free tickets to like as a telemarketing gig. I don't know, like I've worked places that are like, no, you don't get free shit.
Yeah,
like I worked
don't do the thing that seems like they should do.
I worked at Warner Brothers Studio Tours. You didn't get free fucking free tickets for other people to take
I
the tour.
I worked there too. You know?
Oh really? No way.
I told you if you name it, I worked there.
Dang. Were you a tour guide?
I was a PA.
Okay, so you're working on the lot as is. You know, I worked for the fucking tours, which is garbage. Like,
yeah, I know they are.
Yeah, you're not respected.
Oh, I shouldn't say that.
No, you know, 100% they are. Like, I feel like I've already said this, but if you're, yeah, I did on the holiday episode number. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
But you're the most hated person on the lot because you're in the way of people who are actually doing work, and they're just like, there's the fucking tours again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like if I remember correctly, it was like, yeah, you get a discounted rate at purchasing tickets, but like if your friends or family come, they do not get free tours.
Mm-mm.
And it's just like, it is the one card you have to play to be a nice person.
Oh, yeah,
and you just won't
play
it. So I think it's pretty cool.
And
the Hollywood
Bowl.
They
got the money to do that.
Yes. Yeah.
They got
fine.
The money coming out of everywhere.
It's
going to
be, yeah.
Ooh,
they're,
child, talk about waste.
Yeah, and if you're going to make like the worst DC films imaginable, yeah. You're like.
You ever seen Clint Eastwood there? You know he had his office there.
Yeah, he did. I never saw him there, no.
He looked like he was hanging on a shoestring then. When I saw him, I was like, ooh, is he okay?
I saw Kathy Bates on the lot. And then I guess I saw Ellen while she was filming her show, but I feel like it doesn't count. You got to see him out of context and refer it to count.
Yeah.
Clint Eastwood just hangs out there?
He had an office.
Like the Animaniacs?
He has an office
and
there.
And a scoring, I think the scoring room was named after him, the Eastwood Studio or something like that.
I've only seen him once, but I was like, he looks frail.
Any dicks. They didn't, I think it's cool the Hollywood Bowl gave you that.
But that was certain concerts though. If it was like something sold out.
Of course.
Or special thing,
I get that. But like the fact that they offer it at all is still.
True
somewhat
that.
Admirable.
True that.
Okay, so then question number three, and it's a little bit bigger picture, is if you had to give up on your dreams right now, comedy, unless you have another dream, but comedy, and you had to pick a new dream and work on that, whether it's at like a specific career field or another passion, like what might that be?
I want to. This is something I want to do anyways.
Mm. Which you may still end up doing.
Yeah, in conjunction with, but open up like an Airbnb.
Okay.
And then actually like have like a / comedy
club. Okay, an Airbnb / comedy experience.
Yeah.
Okay, talk to me more.
Well, I like to dabble into, I hate to like admit this to people.
Sure.
But, like. I'm totally into like DIY stuff.
Of course, I fucking love DIY stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, like,
this podcast is
DIY.
Because I don't like to admit that. Because then sometimes people they give you like you have like a certain characteristic or like
you mean in comedy specifically
types of girls that are like.
Oh,
into DIY.
Okay.
Sure. Like, oh, she's so nurturing, but I don't want everybody to know that.
You mean like you're afraid that I think you're into knitting.
Which, I just taught myself how to hand knit, by the way.
Did you really?
My wife loves crocheting.
I'll show you the picture after.
Yeah.
But Yeah, like I like to make candles and do stuff. What are you looking at?
I was looking at the blanket. She crocheted this blanket.
Your wife did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's dope.
For sure.
She probably uses needles though.
No, she does crochet hooks.
Oh, she has hooks. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I think crochet that's is hooks, up. Needles, or knitting is my understanding.
Okay.
And anytime I call it knitting, she gets upset, but she's like, it's crocheting, bro.
She's the real deal.
She like face sure. bombs you.
So you're into DIY stuff across the board, and you would be interested in having a combining an Airbnb with
the stuff that I like to do, you
for
know?
For sure.
Like,
which includes comedy and?
Comedy and like, you know, curating like this culinary experience mm-hmm. with it, and having like, I like interior design and stuff, and having like a nice, beautiful aesthetic place, you know, where people could like, you know, actually stay the night. And
you're like trying to cultivate like an experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like an Airbnb that like almost in the way of like a dinner and a show, but like it's for an Airbnb and you're staying there. There's this other thing.
Yeah, so talk me through physically how you would want this. Like ideally, would it be that you have I don't know, 5 or 6 units of like apartments that they stay in?
Yeah,
or is
not
it like
everybody can stay there, but the show will be like open to like the public.
Right.
Like I would have like maybe an outdoor, although comedy is not very conducive in outdoors. Although I have done
some outdoor shows that are dope.
It's best in LA.
I feel like we've all done great outdoor shows. I wouldn't call outdoor shows great.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a great way of putting that.
And I feel like that's something that I can do when I get old, you know, because it's like, it's not, I could live there and not
right.
be like, just trying, you know, trying to plan out what I'm, who I'm going to be at 75.
Sure.
It's good to think about that now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How are you going to grow old?
Uh-huh.
How are you going to retire?
How am I? Are you asking me?
Yes.
I don't know. How am I going to retire? I got nothing on retirement. I honestly have assumed for the longest time that I'm just going to die. Mm-hmm. So, no, I have no idea. I mean, I did just get a job. And I mean, literally. So congrats to me on the podcast that has like good 401k and stuff like that. So I'll actually start saving for retirement starting like next month.
That's
but
good. Max it out.
Yeah, they have a pretty good thing. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, it's one of the reasons, honestly, that I picked stand-up along, like, in the sense of, I was a background in theater and, like, physical theater, and I was at this school where, like, you know, we were learning all this acrobatics and stuff like that, and I was like, I'm 26, and I'm, like, actually pretty old for acrobatic movement.
Flipping.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, like, and I wasn't even flipping. I wasn't even that good, you know, like, so is everybody else at the school. Like, there are definitely people who are, like, 19, but, again, if you're just, like, the real ones who can, you know, flip, they've already been doing it since they were 12, since they were 8, since they were 5, you know? Mm-hmm. And even so, like physical theater, I was just like, old people just sit and talk. You know, like old legends of stand-up, they get better as they age.
George Carlin sat.
Yeah, so like,
I didn't want to say Bill Cosby, but
he did sit a lot. Well, that feels like a satisfactory answer. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are never going to retire, so that's not good. we'll figure it out. Yeah. Where can people find you on the internets if you want them? If you want to be found?
Yes. Well, we already know you can find me, but
that's true.
With your skills. But my handle is Clark Kimberly L. Mm. I couldn't take Kimberly Clark because that's a corporation. So.
Oh really?
Didn't know that either. Powerhouse of a.
Well, fuck that
paper
place.
Company.
Yeah.
A paper company.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Wow. Big paper.
Big paper.
Big paper.
They're taking our Instagram and Twitter handles.
I should work for them.
Yeah.
You definitely lie and make it seem like you're the boss.
Yeah, totally.
Who's name is that?
Yeah, all right. So you better listen up.
Who are you talking to? You see my name.
All right, well, fuck this place.
Fuck this place. Thank you so much.
Cool,
yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Don't forget to rate and subscribe to the podcast and share it with people, like friends, people you work with. Yeah, you can share with people you work with. Wouldn't that be cool? You can also text us or leave a voicemail, 470-BAD-JOBS. That number is in the show notes. Okay, that's it. Bye for now.